This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If I can ask the brothers, if you want to stay back, inshallah, to come forward a little bit. There is more reward, definitely. More hasanat, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي اما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise him, we seek his help, and we ask for his forgiveness. We send a salutations upon the beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his friends. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should all thank Allah ta'ala for allowing us all to be gathered here today. Alhamdulillah, we just performed the Salatul Maghrib together in Jama'ah, and now we are here sitting down and gaining some beneficial knowledge. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. The topic for today is, or it's titled, Save Others and Be Saved, or Support Others and Be Supported. And I thought this is a great opportunity to speak about the importance of supporting one another, the importance of helping each other, and in turn, Allah Ta'ala supporting us, Allah Ta'ala taking care of us, Allah Ta'ala helping us. Because at the end of the day, we want to achieve Jannah. We want to achieve Jannatul Firdaus. And to get there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places things in our life, places situations in our life that he is testing us. What are we going to do when these situations arise? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that verily Muslims are but brothers. The believers are but brothers. We are brothers and sisters. And we know that brothers and sisters, we take care of each other. We look after one another. When someone is falling down, we help them, we pick them up. When we are in a state or a situation where we need help, we can rely on someone to help us and pick us back up. That is what brothers do. That is what they do. And in a very similar words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, that a Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. And in another very beautiful hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about the believers, he said, Al-Mu'minu lil-Mu'mini kal-Bunyan yashudda ba'duhu ba'da, that a believer to another believer, they are like a building, each part supporting the other. If you look at the buildings, you'll notice the pillars, the walls, the floor, the foundation. Each part of the building supports another part of that building. And if that part wasn't there, if that pillar wasn't there, the building may collapse. So a Muslim is like that. We look for opportunities to help our brothers and sisters whenever they are in need. That is what a Muslim does. A Muslim is not a person that when a calamity happens, when a hardship happens to another, we clap. We don't do that. Or we rejoice. We say, yep, they deserve it. No, we don't do that. Rather, we think in our minds, our brothers, our sisters need help. What can I do to support them? A recent example, and I'm sure every one of us have heard of this example, the floods in Pakistan. It caused chaos in the country. And just to tell you some of the stats of the destruction that that flood caused, it is mentioned that approximately or over 1,700 people have been killed. And from amongst them, over 600 children, our youngsters. And the cause of this, they say, was a monsoon rain, the heat wave during their summer. It caused the ice glaciers to melt, and that caused the floods to come throughout Pakistan. Now, who knows the population of Australia? Who can tell me? 25 million. It's said or estimated that in Pakistan, over 33 million people have been affected. And I'm only giving you an example of one country here. 33 million brothers and sisters of ours have been affected. 800,000 homes completely destroyed. 2.1 million homes partially affected. 1.1 million livestock have been killed. And a third of the country, they say, was underwater. That's huge. That's a massive destruction. And approximately, they say, about $40 billion worth of destruction. Now, when these things happen, unfortunately, many Muslims, in their mind, they start saying, yeah, you know, it's they deserve it. It was coming. Political issues, problems, you know, fighting amongst each other. Well, it's bound to happen. A Muslim does not respond like that. A Muslim never thinks like that. Rather, a Muslim, when a destruction like this happens, when a calamity happens, they think this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is it a test for them, but it is a test for me. What am I going to do? What is my response to a calamity like this? Allah ta'ala is testing you and I. You see, Allah has placed situations all around the world and has put this situation to test all of us. Why? Because Jannah is not given to us on a silver platter. You're not just going to gain Jannah like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be left alone just because they say, I believe, and not be tested? They will be tested. And a part of these tests, Allah Ta'ala lists them down in the Qur'an. In one ayah, Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala gives us five examples of the type of tests He may give us. The first one He says, min al-khawf, something of fear. Allah Ta'ala might place fear in someone's heart. So if you look around the world, especially where there is war, they are living in constant fear. People are sleeping at night not knowing that they'll be awake in the morning. Not knowing they'll be alive in the morning. Because a bomb might come and that's it, they're gone. They're living in fear. They might wake up and say, Alhamdulillah, but they fear that they might not see the night and fall asleep. They are living in constant fear. Min al-khawf wal-jur, from hunger. Allah Ta'ala might place people in a situation where they'll have no food to eat for many days, and we know this. When the floods came in Pakistan, some of our closest friends who have relatives there, they haven't eaten in days because of the destruction. Clear drinking water wasn't available. Subhanallah. Contaminated water is what they were drinking. And we know many parts of the world in poverty-stricken countries where our own Muslim brothers and sisters don't eat for days. And we've seen this all over social media. Subhanallah, we feel a little bit during Ramadan. We go through a few hours of hunger, you know, and just before iftar, you get so hungry, you see the food in front of you, and then as soon as the adhan happens, you gobble it all up. And we only feel a pinch of it, a taste, just a pinch. Our brothers and sisters go for days without it. Waljur, min al-khawfi waljur, wa naqsim min al-amwal, bankruptcy. Your wealth taken away from you. Your house taken away from you. Your company taken away from you. Those brothers and sisters in Pakistan, I'm giving you this example because this is a recent one. One day they were rich and today it's all gone. The floods have taken their homes. The flood has taken their company. Their business is gone. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. And Allah Ta'ala testing people by taking loved ones away. The lives of people. Subhanallah, when I was studying abroad, I met a brother who was a student. He said, my biggest test that Allah Ta'ala gave me was during the tsunami that happened in Banda Aceh, in Indonesia and other parts of the world. He said, that day, I lost my parents, I lost my siblings, I lost my grandparents, I lost my uncles and aunts and some of my cousins. All in the blink of an eye, all gone. Can you imagine what he went through? He went through so much depression that the thoughts of suicide came to his mind. And the country where he was studying, they provided help and support for him. But subhanallah, can you think, can you imagine the test that people go through? وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will test people with the loss of vegetations and crops. Again with the floods, people have lost their livelihood. They have lost their crops, their vegetations, their livestock. 1.1 million livestock killed. Subhanallah. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. And in other forms of tests, this is only five mentioned. There are many other tests that Allah gives us. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. That verily your wealth and your children, they are a test for you. They're a fitna, they're a trial for you. How are you going to raise your children? How do you earn your wealth? Where are you spending your wealth? Everything is a test. And when we see destruction happen, we forget ourselves. We forget, hey, this is also a test for me. What's happening there? Allah Ta'ala is now looking at us. What are you going to do? Subhanallah. That is how a Muslim thinks. What is my responsibility now to help our brothers and sisters that are in need? That is inshallah what we want to discuss today. You see, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala places these opportunities for a reason. Some of us, we may think, you know, Allah Ta'ala, you know, all this hardship that is happening, subhanAllah, it looks really bad, it looks evil. But we forget, there's no such thing as pure evil. There's no such thing. Even shaitan is not pure evil. How can you say that, Shaykh? Shaitan is not pure evil? No. Why is shaitan not pure evil? Because he? Does anyone know? He? Not just, he what? He believes in Allah. He believes in Allah. Yet he turns away. He doesn't obey. If something bad happens, look at the floods, for example. We may look at it as a negative. But those brothers and sisters who died, for them, insha'Allah ta'ala, they died as a martyr. We know from authentic hadith, those who drowned, those who get crushed to death by a building or boulder, they died as a martyr. For them, their ranks are elevated, insha'Allah. So for them, rejoice, insha'Allah. But test for those around them, subhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala creates these opportunities so that we can put our part or we can do our part. Allah Ta'ala has created individuals in different ways. Some are rich, some are poor. Some are wealthy, some are very, very wealthy, and some don't have anything. Some are strong, and some are very weak. Some people are academically smart, some people are not. Some people may be good technicians, and some people are not. Some are very skillful, others are not. Allah Ta'ala creates people differently. We need to use our skills and what we have, what we possess, in order to help and support each other. You see, Allah Ta'ala has ordered zakat. And we know zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. This is something we need to give. But more than that is sadaqah. On top of that is sadaqah. To top up what is already compulsory. In order to gain more hasanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was no poverty, where's the zakat going to go? Where's the sadaqah going to go? How do we get that hasanat from Allah ta'ala? So He creates these opportunities. So the point I'm trying to make is, do not think of something negative that happens as something really terrible. Think of it, this is my opportunity. You know when a business happens, when a business starts up, and then investors come in to invest, a lot of people see this as an opportunity. I'm going to put in money, and I'm going to invest, and inshallah, in a couple of years, I'm going to see my return. Right? People look for opportunities in business. When we see a calamity where charity is needed, that's an opportunity for us to gain not only hasanat from Allah Ta'ala, but to also gain wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has promised, those who give sadaqah, you will never be poor. You will never be poor, subhanallah. Your wealth will only increase and your hasanat will only increase. Therefore, we need to look for these opportunities. So there's many different ways how a Muslim can support each other. One amazing statement I want to read out to you, mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, there are different ways of supporting a fellow believer with one's wealth, with one's position or authority of power, by means of physical service, by offering sincere advice and guidance, by making supplications, dua, and asking for forgiveness for them, and by feeling their pain. The level of one's support will be affected by the level of one's faith. The weaker a person's faith, the weaker his support will be. The stronger the faith, the stronger the support. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest of all people in his support for his companions. So the more closely his followers follow him, the greater will be the support for their fellow believers. Beautiful statement. So many different ways to support each other. One amazing statement that was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in an authentic hadith, it was authenticated by Shaykh Albani rahimahullah, he said, listen to this, the most beloved people to Allah are those who are most beneficial to people. The ones who bring benefit to people. The most beloved deed to Allah is to make a Muslim happy, or to remove one of his troubles, or to forgive his debt, or to feed his hunger. For me to walk with a brother and to help him with his needs is more beloved to me than to seclude myself in this masjid in Medina for a month. Let me repeat that statement. He said, it is more beneficial for me to walk with a brother and to help him in his needs than to seclude myself in this masjid in Medina for an entire month. That's a massive statement. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continues, whoever swallows his anger, then Allah will conceal his faults. Whoever suppresses his rage, even though he could fulfill his anger if he wished, then Allah will secure his heart on the day of resurrection. Whoever walks with his brother regarding a need until he secures it for him, then Allah Almighty will make his footing firm across the bridge on the day when the footings are shaken. Amazing statement by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This shows us that to help your Muslim brother is dearer to Allah than worshipping Allah in the sunnah things in the masjid, subhanallah. Can you imagine this? And yet today, when a brother is going through hardship, we laugh at him. When a sister is going through a divorce, you say, yeah, she deserved it. When a person is going through hardship, losing or crashing in his car, yeah, he was speeding, he always speeds, he deserved it. We think like this, we think negatively. And we never think, what can I do to help or to give a lending hand? You see, when a calamity happens, alaykum salam, when a calamity happens, or when something bad happens, the minimum you should do is you should feel it in your heart and make dua for that person. That's the minimum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi, fa illam yastati' fa bilisanihi, fa illam yastati' fa biqalbihi, wa dhalika adhaful iman." He sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, when you see a munkar, a haram happening, something bad happening in front of you, then if you can, change it physically. Go there and change it physically, if you have the means and capabilities to do so. If you don't, if you can't do that, maybe the situation is not a place where you can physically change things, then فَبِلِسَانِهِ, then at least with your tongue, say something. Say something. Because at the end, you're helping someone. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and if you can't do that, maybe you're a little bit shy, maybe there's a lot of people around, the situation is not right, فَبِقَلْبِهِ, then at least in your heart, at least know that the munkar is happening, it's wrong. And I hope and I wish my brother or my sister is away from that. But وَلَكِنْ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, that is the weakest of faith. That's the minimum. So we should aspire to do more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at a few things or few situations that Allah has blessed us with of what we can do with those possessions or those things that Allah has given to help and support others. For those of us who are physically able to physically support each other, then know that in any situation where a person needs your help physically, be there for that person if you can. I'll give you very simple examples. Elders in your family, those who are elderly, that maybe can't do things physically, need help and support to even walk across the road. Simple things like this, be there for them. Even helping someone to lift their bag and put it on the top or the shelf in the airplane, wherever it is. Those little things, that is a physical service that you are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have certain position or authority, if you've got some type of title, then use that to serve people. Remember, you are placed as a servant to people. Allah ta'ala has given you that authority so you can make others' lives easier. That's how we should think. A simple example, fathers or mothers, you have responsibilities over your children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, that all of you are shepherds and each and every one of you are responsible for your flock. So if you have certain authority, if you are fathers, mothers, if you have authority in your business, then you are responsible to make the lives of those under you easier, to help them and to support them, to guide them. If you've got a bit of knowledge, then use that knowledge to make the life of that person easier. Very important. We do this with our children all the time. We want to make sure that our child grows up, they have a good job, you know, they have a good business maybe, they marry the right person. You want to advise them throughout their life because you've lived that life. And you want to give them that advice so that they can, inshallah, become successful in this life and the hereafter. What about others around? What about those that are not directly under you? We also need to help and support them with the knowledge that you have. There is a reason why Allah Ta'ala has given you that knowledge. And in one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, when the child of Adam dies, all their deeds come to an end, except for three. Three things continue even after you pass away. Sadaqatun jariyah, we'll talk about that later. Aw ilmun yuntafa'u bih, knowledge that benefits others. Aw waladun salih yad'u lah, and the righteous child that makes dua for you. So you spend that much time for your children, great. Inshallah, they become righteous, they make dua for you. But that knowledge that you have that benefits others, give that knowledge to them. Ad-deenun nasiha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this deen is advice, to give people beneficial advice. You know, when we see a bargain, we go to the shops, we see a bargain, we don't want to tell anyone about it because we want to keep it to ourselves, right? You find something cheap, that's mine, I'm going for it. And I take it. Even though there's plenty out there for others, I'm not going to tell anyone about it. And I'm going to show what I have to people, how much I spent. Subhanallah. You know, what type of Muslims are we? We want to help and support others. If you find a place and you know that that place is beneficial to buy from, and you know others are looking, your friends, your other family members are looking for certain places like this, let them know about it. Tell them about it. You're not losing anything. Rather, Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in what you have. Allah Ta'ala will give you more. We got to change our mindset. Allah Ta'ala will give me more when I support others. It's very hard to grasp that concept. When I give, how do I get more? Subhanallah. But that's the concept that we Muslims need to have in our minds. Also, and this is the big part that I want to talk about today, inshallah, supporting each other with your wealth. Supporting each other with your wealth. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us to live in Australia. And they say people who live in Australia, they are from the top 10 percentile of the world in terms of living. We have everything, subhanAllah. So many things we have here compared to the rest of the world. Think about it for a moment. Top 10, other people say top 5. So can you imagine the blessing of Allah Ta'ala? So that is now a test for us. Since we've got that blessing, how can we help others who don't have that blessing? Think of opportunities, inshallah. Those who need any help and support. I'll give you a few scenarios. Ali radiallahu an, he was quite poor, from a very poor family, as we know. The Prophet ﷺ raised him. He was his cousin, the Prophet ﷺ raised him. His father at that time couldn't look after him. So he lived a very poor life. And at the time where he was able to get married, and he wanted to marry Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Ali, what do you have to give in mahr? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, what about the shield? He said, this is all I have. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, give that in mahr. So Ali radiallahu anhu went to the marketplace. Look at this scenario. He went to the marketplace. He thought, okay, let me sell this and, you know, I'll get something out of it. I'll give that for mahar and I'll buy a few more things. But when he was asked, how much is this worth? He was like, 4 or 5 dirham. It's not much. Look at the condition of it. He went to the marketplace and who did he meet? Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu sees him, sees the shield for sale. You're selling the shield. You know, how come you're selling this shield? Ali radiallahu anhu, when he told him the story, I want to marry Fatima, my intentions are to marry Fatima, I don't have anything to give his mahar. I have this shield, I'm selling it so I can give his mahar. So Uthman, being the wealthy man he was, he found an opportunity to help his brother. He said, how much are you selling it for? Ali radiallahu anhu said, how much do you think it's worth? Now Uthman, he's a smart man. He knows about warfare. He knows how much that is worth. It's not worth much. But he said, I'll give you 400 dirham. I'll give you 400 dirham for it. Because in the back of the mind of Uthman, his intentions were what? To help his brother. He gave him 400. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, if you think that's what it's worth, great. Alhamdulillah. Ali knows what he knows. Ali knows it's not worth that much. But they knew, Ali understood he was helping him. So he took 400. Ali was so happy. As he was going, Uthman calls him back. And he says, you said you're getting married? And he said, yes. He said, this shield is the wedding gift for you. Subhanallah. Not only did he get 400 dirhams, but he also got the shield back. Uthman radiallahu anhu finding opportunities to help his brother. And knowing how poor Ali was, the time of their marriage, they got married, the humble home that him and Fatima lived in, subhanallah. You wouldn't have thought the type of home they had, the bed that they had. They didn't have a sofa. Their bed was their sofa as well. Subhanallah, that's all they had. Their pillows, they put branches and leaves in material to make their pillows. This is the humble home that Ali and Fatima, they lived in, subhanallah. But we know from this that not only did they didn't have much, but they were one of the couples that gave so much for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I say so much, I don't mean in quantity. I mean in quality. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at the amount you give. Allah ta'ala looks at your heart when you are giving. The quality of your giving. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He talks about the situation of Ali and Fatima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in a verse that they give, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءٌ وَلَا شُكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, from the situation of Ali and Fatima, to teach us, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ, they were giving food to the poor while they were poor themselves. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, despite the love for it. مِسْكِينَ وَيَتِيمَ وَأَسِيرَ, they used to give to the poor. They used to give to the yatim. They used to give to those who are captives. Why? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ, they would say, we only give this food to people لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, so we can find the face of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا, we don't need from anyone rewards, meaning people. We don't need you to return back the favor. And we don't need thanks. That's not why we're doing it. You know, a lot of us, when we help someone, when they're in need, their car's broken down, you help them. Something's wrong in their home, you go and fix it for them. If they're going through a hard time, you give them a bit of money. You remember this. And then when you need something, you say, hey, do you remember when I helped you? A Muslim doesn't do that. When you help each other out, you do it for what? For the sake of Allah. That's the mindset. That I am doing it to find the face of Allah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To find the content of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why I am doing this. And subhanallah, he would give for the sake of Allah as much, so much. There are so many stories that we can talk about. Uthman radiallahu anhu, another example, when he bought the well, we know this story. For the Muslims, he bought that well and he gave it as a waqf. Till today, that well exists. Till today, that well produces water and the date palms around it. It makes so much money. So much money that the government built hotels under the name of Uthman. And today there is a bank account under the name of Uthman. How long ago did he die? And today there is a bank account under his name? Going back to the hadith we just said, the book of deeds are closed. except for three things. Sadaqatun jariyah is one of them. Find opportunities to give sadaqah so that can save you and continue to support you even after you pass away. Your deeds are still going. On the day of judgment, you're going to see the mountains of deeds and you're going to say, "Oh Allah, I didn't do all of that." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you, it's the sadaqah you gave, that's the benefit that you received from that sadaqah. That is how a Muslim thinks. That is the opportunity that Muslim takes. So what I want from this talk today, my brothers and sisters, is to change our mindset. That we don't wait for people to come to us for help. We find opportunities. We look for opportunities. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was Khalifa, he would look for opportunities to go and help the widows, to go and help those who couldn't help themselves, without even telling them that I'm the Khalifa. He would go do that on his own. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he found out what Abu Bakr was doing, he would say, "At'abta al-khulafa ba'daka ya Abu Bakr." You have exhausted the Khalifas who will come after you, Abu Bakr. How are people going to follow you? Subhanallah. They would compete with one another to give sadaqah, to help each other. They would compete. Where are we in that competition? We are very far behind. We need to catch up. So inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to end off here. Inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand of the opportunities that Allah has given us, that we should grab them and we should take them. To find these opportunities and to help and support our Muslim brothers and sisters. Make an intention from today that every single day, if possible, if you can't, every single week, I'm going to look for someone who needs help, who needs support. If I can't find someone, I'm going to leave this much money aside. Because when that opportunity arises, I'm going to give that. And that will be counted every day you're giving sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ, after Fajr, he asked the companions, "Who of you gave sadaqah?" Abu Bakr, what did he say? "I did, Ya Rasulullah." It's Fajr. Abu Bakr took opportunities. How many of you followed a funeral? "I did, Ya Rasulullah." How many of you visited the sick? "I did, Ya Rasulullah." It's Fajr. But he would do that at night. Subhanallah. He looked for opportunities. That is what a Muslim should do. Yes, we're not at the level of Abu Bakr, but let's push ourselves towards that level. Find those opportunities, inshallah. And I want us to think of it this way. When we give sadaqah, we become investors. Investing in our akhirah. Don't think, you know, I'm giving this to help someone. No, never think that. I'm giving this. Yes, that person will get help. But I'm investing in my akhirah. That Allah Ta'ala is going to give me more in the akhirah. That's how a Muslim thinks. And to find that happiness, that smile in the face of your brother, that satisfaction is priceless. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand the importance of helping and supporting each other. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand the importance of giving. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins for all those negative thoughts we had of our brothers and sisters. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the unity of the Muslims, to help those Muslims all around the world that are suffering. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that motivation to find people, to support people, to help each other. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that we have said, to use it as a benefit for us to understand, to apply in our life. If there's anything that was said that was an error, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to forgive all of us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather all of us like we are gathered here in Jannatul Firdaus. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.